Natural and mechanical forces can pressurize a house many ways. Because air carries so much moisture, air barriers are important for more than just energy efficiency. They affect durability and indoor air quality as well. Problem is, air is hard to see. Welcome to GBA Radio. This podcast series is excerpted from a two-day class called Building Science Fundamentals, taught by Joe Stiebrick and John Straub of Building Science Corporation. For information on attending a live class, go to buildingscienceseminars.com. Last week, Dr. Joe wrapped up the water management discussion by talking about how to energy retrofit masonry buildings and the problems associated with it. This week, Dr. John begins the discussion of air management.
So I'm going to talk about airflow control and what drives airflow and get to some air barrier details. And I'm not going to talk much about vapor barriers, because air barriers are what are the more important one. And I know that's a common issue, the air barrier versus vapor barrier thing. So why do we talk about controlling airflow? Well, there's a bunch of reasons. Five of them I listed here, but there's a bunch of reasons why I would want to control airflow. Number one is, on this list, is moisture control. It's to prevent condensation of humid air on cold surfaces. All right, so that's one reason. A more important reason is actually comfort and health. You want to make sure that the air that you're breathing in your home, in your office, in your school, in your hotel, is air that's clean. And the only way you can know that it's clean is to know where it came from. And if you don't know where the air comes from, you have problems with air quality. And by not knowing where it comes from, I mean people who say, I want the walls of my house to breathe, so I'm going to rely on mistakes made by the plumber and the electrician to provide me fresh air. And so they say, I don't want to seal up my house because I want to rely on mistakes to breathe. And that's exceptionally dangerous. Now, we got away with it for many years because our houses were so full of holes, were so leaky, that we always got some air and we diluted any of the pollutants that we picked up. But today, as we get to tighter homes, for a whole bunch of other good reasons, we can't rely on breathing through the dead squirrel in the attic to provide us fresh air for us and our families. Or to be able to draw the air in through the garage over your Suburban and bring that fresh air into your home. Or to suck the air out of your crawl space so that you can smell like socks in the house. So that we need to be sure that the fresh air is coming from outdoors without passing through our building enclosure. And Joe, when he talks about the indoor air quality issues, many, many of them are related to poor control of airflow moving through the enclosure which has been damaged by heat, ultraviolet, or moisture exposure. And those are the things that we're trying to avoid. So I actually always, the biggest reason I want a good air barrier is so that I can have really good air quality. That's why I want a good air barrier. Because only with a good air barrier can I be sure I know where the air is coming from and that I have a chance to quality and quantity can be controlled. Now, another thing that's important is energy. Energy in a relatively well-insulated building, like many houses are to code and a lot of green commercial buildings, air leakage becomes a pretty significant part of the total mix. Particularly in colder climates or hot and humid climates, air leakage can be a third or more of the energy transfer across the building enclosure. There's also sound issues, is that if you got a hole, even the size of my finger, in a wall, partition wall or exterior enclosure, you'll reduce your sound transmission class rating by 5 to 10 points. So in terms of what we're trying to control, well, we're trying to control airflow through the building enclosure and airflow within the building enclosure, and we're going to talk about that. The National Building Code of Canada has required an air barrier for, gosh, this must be almost 20 years now since it's been in the code, but it's still not a requirement in most states. It's still not in the ASHRAE 90.1 or the IRC that you actually need to do this, even though we've known from a research point of view for, probably 30 years that this is a really big deal. So, first, to understand why air would even move, we're going to look at the forces that drive air. Wind, stack effect, and HVAC. The wind effect, which means when the wind blows on a building, air leaks through on the windward side, comes in, and is withdrawn on the leeward side. We also have stack effect, meaning hot air rises and cold air falls. And we have combustion and ventilation. all those mechanical equipment that have fans, whether they're a power vented hot water heater, whether they're a furnace, even a chimney. In the old days, fireplaces were really big exhaust fans because, you know, for 2,000 cubic feet a minute of exhaust came out the chimney, well, 2,000 cubic feet a minute of air came in through the walls. And that provided a guaranteed flow of air through the building. Today, we sometimes use electric heaters, ground source heat pumps. We've lost that exhaust fan that the chimney used to provide. We use sealed combustion appliances for indoor air quality, so we don't have that exhaust air anymore. So the remainder is that, well, we have the range hood or, you know, fart fan in the bathroom as ways that are exhausting air. But we've reduced the amount of mechanical appliances in houses that are moving air out. So we're going to look at each of these in a bit more detail. Wind loads. The peak wind loads that we put into building codes are actually pretty high. They're pretty large numbers. But on average, the wind pressure is quite a bit lower. On average, the pressure is something like 10 pascals on a low-rise building would be considered pretty high, more likely 5. And in a high-rise building, maybe 40, 50, 60 pascals. So a pascal may not mean much to you, but 250 pascals is 1 inch of water column. How else to describe it? 250 pascals is 5 pounds a square foot. If you have a flat roof building, a lot of the roof actually has a negative pressure on it. Air is being sucked up through that roof because of the aerodynamics of the wind passing over the leading edge and causing negative pressures. On a house, because we have a sloping roof, it actually is positive on the windward side, provided the slope is over about 3 or 4 to 12, and negative on the leeward side. But of course, the wind is highly complicated. It's three-dimensional at the very least. Wind is trying to flow around buildings, and so as such, the highest pressures are in the middle sweet spot, and as the wind goes around the corners, it creates some pretty large swirls and negative pressures, and so we often see wind-related structural damage right at these spots because that's where the highest suction pressure occurs. Now, if I look down on a building in plan view, well, positive pressure causing air to leak in on the front face, negative on the leeward face, and large suction pressures around the corner. That's what we should expect under most wind conditions. The other big factor that moves air around buildings, or natural factor, is stack effect. Stack effect comes from that's the way chimneys used to work, or stacks. And it's basically that the building produces warm air in the wintertime, which is lighter than the cold air around the building. And so because of that, that warm bubble of air wants to rise up and out. And in high-rise buildings, that's a pretty big deal. The airflow will, as it leaves the top of the building, cold air will come in at the bottom. And if we provide, let's say, a building that's, say, 20 or 30 stories high, that's one hell of a chimney. And so the pressures that it generates are really significant. So significant, in fact, that when skyscrapers were first developed at the turn of the century, people had to also invent revolving doors because you couldn't open the front door because of the stack effect pressure. The cold air was rushing and with so much pressure that it was difficult to push the exit doors open. Now, it requires cold weather and tall buildings before you really notice it, but unlike a lot of these other pressures, it acts every hour of every day that it's cold. And those pressures dragging in at the bottom are really very significant. So the air leaks in at the bottom, rises up, gets heated, of course, as it goes, and then out the top. What's really quite interesting, of course, is that the people in the lower half of the building get all the air leaking in. They get all the fresh air. And the people in the penthouse departments get all of their burps and farts delivered into the penthouse suite. So the people who pay the most rent get the worst indoor air quality. Now, we can improve on this one more in that we could put below this building, we could put in a parking garage so that all of the exhaust gas emissions from cars and trucks and things that are idling get vacuumed up by the stack effect pressure and delivered to the high rent customers at the top of your building. And if you have older buildings which are actually quite leaky because they have no air barrier, well, then you end up having some serious comfort issues as the cold air leaks in. The air is leaking in so much that it's cold in the apartment. So they turn up the thermostat to get more hot air into the building. And of course, the people at the top get all that hot air, right? So that air gets heated up in the lower floors, goes to the top, and the people at the top are saying, geez, it's hot, you know, and they turn the thermostat down, it's still hot. So then they operate the window stat and slide open their windows so to try and get cooled off, which of course increases the air leaving, which of course increases the air coming in at the bottom floors, so the people at the bottom get plug-in little heaters and stuff like that. So you have this magic merry-go-round of sucking air at the bottom, heating it up, blowing it out the top, and there's so much airflow in the elevator shafts, you can float. You can just put out your arms and you'll float in the middle of winter in many of these buildings. Of course, it consumes tremendous amounts of energy. Everyone's pissed off, whether at the low level or the high level, and indoor air quality is completely compromised. And that's actually the normal scenario. This isn't the worst case scenario. This is the normal scenario of high-rise residential buildings in cold climates. In warm climates, the reverse can occur, but because the temperature differences aren't as great, I mean, it's rare that you get more than 95 degrees in Miami, the flow in reverse isn't as bad. But it's bad enough to be noticeable that top floor hotel rooms in the south get more condensation on the vinyl wallpaper in the top floors than they do at the bottom floors. So it sometimes can help create bigger problems at the top as it's sucking hot, humid air in off the Gulf because of this natural air conditioned stack effect going on. So here's some numbers. When it's cold outside, 4 pascals per story of height. When it's hot, about 1.5 pascals story per height. Now, those are the natural forces due to temperature and due to wind. The mechanical forces due to building design and operation can completely overwhelm this or be completely insignificant depending on the design and operation because they're man-made. And so if we blow air into the building, we pressurize it everywhere. So the pressure will spread through the building, and if I have a 10 pascal pressurization, it'll spread through the whole building and everything will be pressurized. And if I negatively pressurize, everywhere around the building will be negatively pressurized. One of the most common problems with exhaust fans that are too powerful occurs in high-end houses which have Gen Air downdraft range hoods. So to be able to have a downdraft range hood, you need a lot of airflow, right? Because the steam and the smells are coming off the stove and you need a huge airflow to bring it down. So they tend to be rated in the 1,000 CFM and up range. Very powerful fans. You turn them on and there's this big wind up like a Boeing on the runway, you gotta keep the kids away or they're gonna get sucked onto the stove. And this air is just blowing down. Well, if you don't provide makeup air for that large amount of exhaust, the whole house goes massively negative and you start sucking on the garage. You put air sucked backwards through your hot water heater. It'll suck air backwards down the fireplace. People have died. People continue to die every year because of things like this. Powerful exhaust fans, no makeup air. You start sucking backwards through combustion appliances in your building. And so if you have to control these mechanical systems so that you don't get dangerously high negative pressures. They don't die that often, but they die enough that it matters.
Tune in next week to hear Dr. John talk about moisture content and relative humidity. Thanks for tuning in to GBA Radio.